Hey everybody, welcome to Dive Deep. We're glad you're joining us today as we discuss aspects of this past week's topic that we didn't get a chance to explore during the message. Our goal is to help you deepen your relationship with God and live out your faith in ways that change the community around you. Joining me today is Pastor Arlie. Welcome, PA.
Hey, good to be here, Caleb.
Glad to have you. This week's message was, obviously a very controversial message.
Could be.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, but could be.
Right, okay. And it reminds me of a story that you shared a couple weeks back when we talked about predestination.
Number of weeks, but yes.
A couple, relative, I guess.
Yeah,
time is relative.
Yeah, right. Not my relatives, but yours.
And you shared about the conversation that Wesley had with one of his followers, was just about whether he'd see Whitfield or not. Can you recap for us that conversation?
Because
I think it depicts so well this topic.
Well,
also,
you have to understand that Wesley was taking very much an Arminian Wesleyan perspective of salvation, where Whitfield was definitely a Calvinist perspective of salvation.
Yeah.
And so looking at the two, there were a lot of hot debates going back and forth. And so people were trying to pit them against each other, as reporters always do.
Right.
And still doing. And so they were trying to pit them against each other just to try to see, you know, what was there. And Wesley was savvy. He was aware that that's what they were doing. Yeah. And so, you know, they said, hey, do you believe that you'll see Whitfield in heaven? Mm. And Wesley's answer was no. And of course they went,
he knew how to play a crowd.
Yes. And so when he said no, they said, oh, why not? And then he said, well, he was such a godly man and such, you know, an incredible person. He'll be much closer to the throne than I will be. And so in talking about that and helping them see that, there was a magnanimous spirit that was present that would help realize, you know, this doesn't need to divide us.
Right.
Doctrine, yes, we do come down on this differently in some cases, but we don't need to be divided by this. And I guess that's what I was trying to really talk about the most in regard to it, in the fact that what is the bottom line of why God saves us? He saves us that we might be conformed to the image of Christ.
Right.
So that's the whole plan. That's the whole purpose.
Yeah.
And so when we kind of get off track, that's when these kinds of questions come up. And more often than not, it's not even our own self that's questioned about. It's other people.
Oh, it's almost always, isn't it? I mean,
yes.
And if you think about it, of course, I know most people could probably say where they're at in their faith journey and the confidence they have or don't have, but more than not, we're debating not of ourselves and our own faith journey, we're debating about other people.
Right.
And
kind of hypothetical.
Yeah, exactly. It feels very, very judgmental.
It's very uncomfortable. And so the great importance of making sure that I am realizing, and that's what I try to do in the message, to say to you that are secure, don't be careless about it. Let's look at the warnings of Scripture. Why are they there? They're obviously given so that we could realize the danger zone that we might be in when we think I'm secure, it doesn't matter what I do and how it's going to impact. But the people who are insecure, Don't even read those passages.
Right.
Let's go right to the other passages that show you don't doubt God's love.
Yeah.
It's significant. It's there for you. He wants to continue to help you understand and reinforce that.
And in that pursuit, obviously there's a healthy and reasonable amount of effort that we need to put in to helping lead other people in deeper relationship with Jesus, right? We have some responsibility here.
Sure.
So when is it appropriate, and how much attention should be given to assessing other people's faith? Is it different for people that are leaders in the church versus your average person, or is it more relationally based? You know, like how much is it right for us to judge, and when?
Yeah, I think there's a responsibility that we all have to each other when we start to see somebody waning in their faith and kind of wondering. I think there's a, especially, I don't think you should approach people unless you have a relationship. I don't think that's your part.
I agree.
I think the relationship gives you the privilege of speaking into their lives. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's really important. But I do think that, you know, when there's a weaker brother, scripture talks about that, like how we should be able to care for one another, reach out and, you know, hold each other accountable. I think there's a responsibility to all of that. Now, I think it has to be approached with caution. I mean, because, you know, the defensive response, oh, yeah, well, what about yourself? Mm-hmm. How about this? I mean, that you can set yourself up for that kind of response. Yeah. So make sure you're cautious.
Well, I think it takes that relationship because you have to know that that person has either expressed or has a desire to live to a certain standard or level or, you know, really to be conformed to the image of Christ. Like, right. Like they need to have desired that at some point before you can have any grounds to approach them.
Well, if I know you love me, mm-hmm. and I'm confident of your love, that I give you permission to speak into me. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
But if I think you're like, I'm not sure about that, then like, what right do you have to speak into me?
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, I think there's a great importance of making sure that we have the right motive, the right reasoning, the right relationship, mm-hmm. all of those things in place before we would do that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a great importance for each one of us. And that's why, you know, it says examine your own faith, you know, to see where you are and how you're responding. Because self-deception can be really dangerous.
Mm, yeah.
You know, we can deceive ourselves. And the scripture talks about that time and time again, about the importance of making sure that I'm looking into my own faith journey.
And I think
it vital.
And that's why biblical community is so important. I mean, they're
absolutely.
Called blind spots because we can't see them.
Absolutely.
We need someone we know and trust to point them out for
us.
Yeah,
how can I have, a blind spot that, like, when I'm driving in my vehicle and there's mm-hmm. that space, like a 2-ton vehicle could be beside me and I don't even see it.
Yeah.
Like, how can you miss a 2-ton vehicle?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reality is we all have blind spots. So we have some pretty big ones. There can be things that we're not aware of. That's why I like those little yellow caution lights in the mirror.
I know, right?
They say, hey, somebody's right beside you. Uh-huh. And like you don't see it. I think we need those in life.
Yeah.
So like if we could just have these little yellow caution lights that could be kind of like on either side of our eyes or something. That
maybe we could make little cards up and like I would just hand it to you when I'm worried.
Maybe. That would be good. But I think there's blind spots that all of us carry.
Yeah.
And I think there's a great importance of making sure that in my walk, my relationship, that I am being tuned in to the Spirit, what right. God's leading.
And I think it, again, going back to that person having expressed that there's a desire to grow in their faith, if that's never been expressed or we've never seen real relationship there, I think it gets very dangerous to approach, not with constructive criticism, anybody that, you
right.
know, maybe only claims a name or is just along for the ride in the Christian faith.
Yeah. So I think that all of it, when we're looking at like what is our faith like and our faith journey and the security that we have in Christ, I don't think there's ever been an intent in God's word that we would live in insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
He does not. I mean, that's a horrible place to be. Like if you had a parent who you weren't sure, like one day if they loved you and the next day if they didn't, that breeds psychologically such dangerous kinds of, you know, fodder in our own thoughts and mind.
Mm-hmm.
So you want consistency. You want to know that you're secure in love. You're secure in relationship. So there's a great importance of making sure that we understand that, but not taking it carelessly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's really the whole intent of Scripture and what it's saying.
Yeah. And you talked a lot about kind of our we can be our own enemy in this as far as we create our blind spots. We can deceive ourselves. I think probably most often we are our own reason for drifting away or struggling with some of
yeah.
these areas, whether it's insecurity or overconfidence. I mean, what have you seen as far as has suffering or success in your life ever detracted your loyalty or distracted you or for those that you know that have been ministry leaders? How has that played out for them?
You know, I think you have kind of the choice of going either direction, either one of those things. Mm-hmm. You know, suffering, you can become resentful and angry at God because of what you're going through, or you feel helpless and you have to call out to God because you need His. So I think you can kind of go one or the other, mm-hmm. not usually just kind of in between. Success, I think maybe you can kind of go all three. You know, someplace like you let it go to your head and you start thinking it's all about you.
Yeah.
You can stay really focused and realize, you know, God uses all of us at times, and we're just grateful for mm-hmm. that. Or you kind of seem like you're immune to it. But I think there's kind of like, you know, moving either direction. I think you have to keep focused on whatever you're experiencing, that God's going to use this to build in you mm-hmm. what the character, the strength, that what needs to be built
yeah.
as you continue walking through it.
Have you identified any strategies to kind of help keep yourself on track or in check or reflect on?
Sure, it's funny that I remember this so clearly when we did our one of our leadership talks mm-hmm. and Stelzfus,
Elvin
yeah. said, "How do you manage that?" And I thought, isn't that something? I said, well, you know, I think that I'm very aware of my weakness. I'm very aware of my lack of capabilities. And I think that I realize the biggest thing I always think about is, you know, if you had a wagon load of gold and the wagon was old and decrepit, but the gold was on top of it, I doubt anybody would be making comments about the wagon. They would be really marveling at the gold. Mm. And I think that what we have to remember is we're the wagons and God's the gold. Mm. And like whatever He does in me that's gold is just because I was the vehicle to make it happen. Mm. And so I think that helps keep me focused on realizing it's not about me, it's really about God. And I think that's what we have to do if we're going to really see God accomplish things.
Yeah, that's a great perspective. And I know in my own life, as I've, you know, been more relationally close to God or further apart, it really comes from perspective, number one. But that perspective for me has been gained through time with Him and time with other people that also love Him. Mm-hmm. Like those two factors are just mm-hmm. irreplaceable. And I think those are two of the factors that sustain a faith, that open ourselves up for Him to sustain our faith through mm-hmm. the long haul. Mm-hmm. And I think they're just so critical. And, you know, I wonder if that's because as a Wesleyan perspective, of course, we believe there's free choice to choose and then not sure. choose and then yeah. to walk
right.
away.
A like, free will that yeah. you have always. And I think that's the underlying most important part of this. Mm-hmm. If you believe that we have a free will.
Yeah.
Do you lose your free will when you come into a relationship with Christ?
Yeah.
And like, we would believe you don't. We would believe in a Wesleyan perspective that you always have a free will. So I could walk away from this if I chose to. Yeah. God won't hold me against my will. So that would be our perspective. But I think the bottom line is you don't even really get into either of these things if you're saying, what do I need to do to grow more and draw closer to God? What do I need to do? You're not even going to go here. This is not even a conversation that's going to happen.
Yeah. And I think that's the key. And again, it just leads us back to, well, whose faith are you assessing, yours or someone else's?
Right. Right.
And so I think, you know, we need to create maybe a plan and some strategies to help restore those who have drifted or aren't as strong, or maybe they never had faith to begin with.
Right.
And then our strategy for ourselves needs to be in place also.
Yeah, so, all part of that journey.
Yeah. Do you have any final thoughts that you want to share for our listeners today?
I'm reminded time and time again in Scripture that says, don't get involved in foolish arguments. And I think that too many times people invest so much time in debating and arguing where they need to really invest much more time in, how can I draw closer to God? What mm-hmm. do I need to do to build my relationship with Him in a stronger way? I think if we focus there, I think all these other things fade away.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for your insight and your time sure. today, Pastor Riley.
Sure.
Thank and thanks for hanging out with us on CWC Dive Deep. If you value the time you've spent here today, join our mission to invest in others by rating, reviewing, and sharing this podcast. We'll be back next Monday as we continue our series Built for Action. And if you've missed past episodes, you can check those out at cwc.life. Have a great week.